He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I got a hunch it's going to be the stocks leading the way today as inflation comes in at just 7.7 instead of 7.9. And you're gaining back everything you lost yesterday and then some. I think I see a lot of short covering in this rally so far. Now, I haven't had a chance to go through it a lot, but I've seen a lot of that so far, like, you know, EV stocks and battery stocks and things like that. But the Dow is up 883 points right now. It was down yesterday 647, so you got to also consider that. The Dow is at 33,397. The S&P is up 4% today. Yesterday it was down 79 points. It's up 154 today. I think the oil stocks are participating in today's rally, where yesterday they sold off. The S&P's at 3903, which is 100 points above Goldman Sachs' target price for next year. So we'll see how Goldman Sachs, how that works out. NASDAQ, 5.6%. Now that's a total indication. There is a lot of short covering involved today as the shorts cover, scramble. Will the Fed pivot? NASDAQ up 583 to 10,936. Russell 2000 up 4.57. Crude oil down 28 cents, 85.55. But I do note that the oil stocks look pretty good when I looked at them. They got hit hard yesterday, though. I don't think the market got what it expected from the election. Gold is up $34 per ounce today. Weakness in the dollar. The 10-year is all the way down to 3.87. So welcome to today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds, Best Bonds Now show. Barry, here's the shocking. There's several shocking numbers here right now. But the one that's jumping off the page right now, the 10-year is down 28 basis points to 3.87% today.
Yeah, quite a move. The it's interesting. I think saw where the futures or the I call it the bets on the next interest rate hike, right?
Yeah.
It was 75 basis points. Even though in my mind I was thinking consensus was probably more around 50 anyway. But a lot of the bets you can see, kind of moved the next Fed, move to 50 basis points instead of 75. I was kind of thinking it was going to be 50 anyway. Going in at that 75 clip, I figured at some point, go at 50 at a time, but, certainly difference, I've saw over this kind of potentially changes the Fed's terminal rate. I mean, when I look at the CPI numbers, I mean, it's still 7.7, annually. Core is still 6.3, Fed's shooting for 2. And people forget July, the July number came in flat, remember?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're in October now, and we got a 0.4% for the month, just like we had in September. We had a 0.4% for the month. So, it's kind of hard for me to, look at this and be like,
inflation's
going down.
Over.
No, right. And so, it's moving in the right direction, maybe, is what we could get at. But, it seems a little bit overdone. I do think you mentioned, there's some short covering out there.
A lot. Yesterday, it was an ugly day. I mean, I haven't seen the market sell off like it did yesterday in a long, long time. And it led me to the conclusion that the market really felt like there was going to be a red wave. And I think that really showed up in the energy stocks because they were exceptionally strong leading up to the election. And then yesterday, as you know, the realization was made that it wasn't a big red wave. Boy, the selling in the oil stocks was pretty vicious. It was like, I'm taking my ball and going home, you know. And, you know, it was really a nasty day in tech and in the markets. And, you know, this morning I kind of expected a little bit better than expected inflation report, because we have had a little bit of improvement. I mean, just time. Time, eventually inflation, you know, does kind of peter out just with the time factor involved. But I didn't see it as that good of a report, really. I mean, you're talking 0.2%. Now, you dug into it a little bit. Did you see anything in there that would say, you know, inflation is going back to 2% and the Fed is going to pivot here real soon?
Nothing. I mean, nothing really in you know, from a report standpoint. I mean, you know, I look at, you know, looking at the core. I mean, the core was still, point, you know, up 0.3%. That's after you take out, right, the most, you know, the most volatile items, and you really only took out, 0.1%, a quarter of that top line number. You know, food at home, I think, is still, I mean, you look at the, when you look at these numbers over a 12-month span, it's, I mean, they're still, you know, for gas service, utility, up 20%, fuel oil up, you know, 68%, you know, food at home up 12.4%.
Well, I'm reading Zero Hedge. He just sent out a tweet. He said the latest odds of a 75-point basis hike in December. Okay, we have one more Fed meeting, December. He says the latest odds are 0% right
now. For a 75% hike.
Yeah. Now, that may be his own odds, but 0%, 50 is now the, you
the
know,
new
the 75. Expectation.
Yeah.
50 is the new 75. Okay, well, we had a big post-election. I was going to say, the one thing I want to see before I really commit one way or another, I've been pretty neutral on the market leading up to the elections. I wanted to get through that. And we're not really through it yet, okay? Maybe by Sunday night, by the weekend, end of the weekend, by Monday morning, we'll know who controls the House and who controls the Senate. Maybe not. At least the House. Okay, at least the House we should know by Sunday night. The Senate may go clear to the runoff between in December between Warnock and
Herschel.
But that'll help, okay? Just getting the House. I want to see where the House falls first. Because if the House does not, I mean, it's still up in the air. If it doesn't go towards the Democrats, then it just seems like, you know, there's no change whatsoever in any policy. And we're just kind of back to the old market that's down 20 to 30% this year, depending on which index you're looking at. The other thing I want to see is the final numbers for tomorrow. The final numbers, as earnings season pretty much is now at a close. And I want to make my final, you know, adjustments. I'm going to look at all those companies in the S&P 500. I want to make my final adjustments to my expectations for next year and the year after that. Goldman Sachs, I mean, they lowered their estimates to zero growth next year, meaning that we would make the same $225 per share that we're going to make this year. Okay, and they put a 17 multiple on that, and they come up with a 3,800 target price for the S&P 500 12 months from now. I want to really look at it closely tomorrow and come up with some really final numbers, and that will be in my newsletter this weekend. And that's what I'm going to really base my decisions on going forward, whether to tip a little bit more on the bullish side or whether to tip even a little bit more on the cautious side right now. So anyways, that's what I'm looking at. It was a really ugly day yesterday. It's a monster day today. We'll see where it closes. But there is, you know, I saw stocks that were trading down in the after hour, some of these speculative stocks that have actually flipped and are now up like 13, 14%. That's a real indication that there's a lot of panic in the market today on the other side of the coin, okay? On the other side of the Bitcoin, it's the short people, the short people, the short sellers that are panicking today. Okay, so someone's already weighed in on what the Fed might do here. With inflation being the Federal Reserve's biggest worry, the Consumer Price Index has the potential to rattle markets on Thursday. Well, it is rattling markets. It's rattling them to the upside. But this particular, who's this coming from? Oh, this is coming from KPMG's U.S. Chief Economist, Diane Swank. She's been around a long time. She says to watch shelter costs. What were shelter costs? When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about that. But they're claiming that the CPI will not cause the Fed to pivot. It won't be cool enough for the Fed to pivot. So we'll talk a little bit about that. It's also Lizanne Saunders, which is Charles Schwab Investment Analyst. So we want to look at that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. I'm hearing from my sister down near Sarasota that they're getting hammered right now. She says, I'm getting hammered with wind and rain. She says the storm there was much worse than Ian. Of course, that's in that area of the state. It's Central Florida where this is all happening. It's headed for Tampa right now. And, you know, this storm is 400 miles wide. We've got rain, pretty heavy rain here in the Charleston area, and we have had wind also for the last couple of days. And we're going to get it.
November 10th.
I know.
It's like, what?
We're going to get it today and tomorrow, I guess. Man, I'm looking at an excessive high tide right now. Okay, so here's the bottom line. This is Lizanne Saunders and Diane Swank, who are pretty well-known market analysts. And they said this before the report came out today. This is from the news before these numbers were released. They emphasize that the Fed is serious about keeping rates higher for longer to bring inflation down. And while Fed Chair Powell has indicated the central bank may shift to smaller rate increases, there's no sign of cutting rates. Above all, Powell doesn't want to repeat the Fed's mistake in the 1970s of easing too soon. It's not hard to overshoot on Fed policy, Swank said. Still, they'd rather overshoot than undershoot. Now, this is just a couple opinions out there. She says they're not going to pivot to rate cuts, Saunders said. I still think there are a lot of market participants that haven't quite grasped that we're going to stay at a higher plane for maybe a more extended period of time until the Fed can assess that inflation hasn't re-erupted. So is that a chance? I mean, can inflation re-erupt? You know, I see this shortage coming in diesel. Oil has come down a little bit, but it's been heading back up. They say that the biggest factor is shelter cost, that it takes a long time for shelter cost to come down. What did you see in the shelter cost component?
Well, it is shelter. So shelter actually rose. So it was up 0.8% for the month. Its shelter cost is up 15.2% for the 12 months. And the tricky thing is that, you know, those are rents or leases, right? And those tend to stay stickier for longer because, I mean, you've got folks who, you know, a lot of folks who just, you know, have just seen a lease increase, right? So, you know, that's going to usually be at least for a 12-month period, right? And so getting those, getting those higher rents out of the equation takes much longer. A lot of times, you know, you may never really get those, completely squeeze those shelter costs out, because when you're looking, I mean, you know, that's probably the biggest, one of the biggest components, certainly of the core number, right? In all of the inflation data. So, Shelter up 0.8%. It was 0.7 in September, 0.7 in August, 0.5 in July. So you can, you know, you've got an upward trend in the shelter component.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll still, I'll feel a lot better on Monday. You know, let the dust settle. Hopefully we know who controls the house by Monday.
Yeah.
I'll have some really good numbers to go off of for next year and the year after that. Okay, now we
got next week's going to be it's an interesting. I think we get Target and Walmart. We get some retailers, you know, next week. And if you remember, you know, I think it was the earnings season. I think coming out of second quarter, you know, they really had some, or maybe it's coming out of first quarter. But they, you know, Walmart and Target really had some
issues.
Bad retail news,
yeah,
right? Coming
inventory.
Out. Yeah, and so. It'll be interesting to see what their guidance is going forward. We get the, I think, the Michigan consumer sentiment number tomorrow. And, you know, really the American consumer's been the one that's really fueled a lot of,
yes,
you know, global growth, and, you know, certainly. And so, you know, seeing how that consumer is going to do is going to be pretty interesting for next week, I think.
Okay, the person of the week is Sam Bankman-Fried. Okay, he started FTX, and it's becoming pretty obvious what happened here at FTX Exchange. He started a hedge fund. Okay, I can't think of the hedge fund right now, but oh yeah, there it is. He started Alameda Research. He is a Stanford graduate. He's a young guy, like 25. His parents are professors at Stanford. He lives in a penthouse in the Bahamas. Okay. He was worth $10 billion at the beginning of the week, but now it's becoming very apparent that he used billions of dollars in customer money to fund risky bets with his sister company, Alameda Research. And he lost a lot of money in those risky bets. And now that money is gone, okay? So here's the deal. That's a regulation issue for me. Why in the heck was he allowed? I mean, that's... You can't take, like, Ameritrade can't take your money.
Right, and use it for something
and
else.
Buy options and buy different bitcoins and different. He took money out of the customer accounts. Where were the regulators on that? And invested it and was playing around. He was putting it on the table to gamble with. And, you know, when he got into trouble, And Bitcoin started to go down, and the redemption started to come in, people wanting to sell their Bitcoin. The money wasn't there because he had lost it on the gambling side of his venture. Man, I'm telling you. And so, you know, you had a couple of companies, Binance was going to come to the rescue.
And they balked, I think, while we were on the show yesterday.
Yeah, they saw what had happened, okay. They looked at his books, and of course, they're big competitors of his. They don't like each other, we don't know what Binance is doing with their money, but you would think that this is going to cause a major run, and it's going to just, you know, really dash any confidence that people have in these cryptocurrency brokers, in the cryptocurrency. It's kind of a dark world. But I just say, man, compare that to Schwab or to Ameritrade or to Vanguard. They can't take your money and gamble with the money like this guy did. I think that you think he's a ends up in prison, Barry?
He probably. If you don't, I would imagine. The other thing is, you know, if his bets went well, was he going to share the profit with
Hell
the clients?
No.
That's another piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a one-sided bet. Then
this could bring the whole house of crypto down. I don't know, but and then you've got all of these companies that own a lot of crypto, like MicroStrategy and Square. At one time, Tesla owned a lot of crypto. Coinbase. Wow, what a disaster. Okay, when we come back, a lot of individual companies in the news. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Big down day in the market yesterday, huge up day in the market today as the inflation, the CPI comes in at 7.7 with 7.9 expected. What was the core number? Was that... That must have come in a little bit lighter too, Barry. Where was
the core. Let me see. I've got it right here. The let's see. It came in at 6.3% annually, and that's it was a 0.3% increase in October, and that's on the heels of a 0.6 increase in September. So it did. It came down, but you know, in reality, it was 0.3 in July.
Yeah.
It was 0.6, you know, in August and 0.6 in September. So, you know, I mean, you're still, you've still got a certain amount of inflation there on the, you know, at the core, still over 4.3 in terms of above that 2%.
It's still pretty
target,
bad, but
right?
The word I'm hearing is it's moderating. Okay, back to the crypto thing. Now, what if you're an investor at Binance and you had, let's say you had $100,000 worth of crypto there in your account? Well, there's not any protection whatsoever. I mean, like stocks have FTC?
Oh yeah, FDIC.
FDIC.
SIPC. SIPC? Yeah. SIPC. Yeah.
But you have no protection at a firm like that, and it's probably likely that this FTX will file for bankruptcy.
And there's going to be some insolvent. Kind of, yeah, and I don't know if there's any, you know, there's commingling rules, and for example, you know, we can't commingle assets, you know, you're not commingling client assets together, you know, it sounds like, you know, in the crypto world, maybe, you know, maybe they shouldn't have been doing it, or maybe it's legal to, you know, to kind of, you know, commingle assets. I don't know.
I doubt it. You know, but
it shouldn't be.
No,
shouldn't
he
be
was using the money to put into his betting fund where he didn't have any risk because it wasn't his money. The clients bore all of the risk, right? I mean, I think a lot of these guys were being hailed as geniuses, okay? The next Warren Buffett was what I was hearing on a lot of these, either crypto guys. I also heard it on the guy that started SoFi and a few others, that these were the new gurus. Well, I heard that same thing in the year 2000 with the dot-coms. And those guys are no longer around anymore. And this thing is not ending well. I was just looking at Galaxy Digital, which was a high flyer. It was a $38 stock. It's now $3.11. Now, Bitcoin is up today. I own a little Bitty, B-I-T-I. It's down about 5% today, but it's had a huge week. It's the inverse Pro Funds ETF against the crypto market. And now you've got another one that's pausing deposits and withdrawals. This is a stable coin called Solana. Crypto.com, it's unclear why they suspended any withdrawals or deposits, but now you've got another one that may be in trouble. So we'll see. Okay, the energy stocks yesterday, they fell pretty hard. They're up today. We did have a drawdown in the reserves. Right before the election, you heard President Biden say, no more fracking. No more fracking, and that was much to the chagrin of Joe Manchin, who wasn't told that, I guess, when they cut a deal with him. And I really think that the red wave anticipation was built into that energy sector, thinking that it would be a lot easier for energy stocks and whatnot. But I looked at it a different way. You know, I thought if there's a red wave, that's probably bearish for oil prices going down. I mean, for going up anymore. You would think that as you increase supply and make it easier to drill and whatnot, that would increase the supply and drive oil prices lower. Seems to me like this development is bullish for energy prices because the same kinds of very strict rules and just all kinds of obstacles to overcome to drill are going to remain in place. And that's going to continue, from where I see it, to be bullish for oil and gas. So we'll see. But I think yesterday, I think there had been a huge premium built into the oil stocks and into oil prices expecting a red wave. And that'll have that huge bubble in that sector came out yesterday, the day after the election. Okay, Elon Musk is going to address Twitter advertisers in a town hall. He's got a problem. If the advertisers back out and he's going to go to a subscription model, well, you know what? You got to trust that Elon Musk has the management ability to kind of thread the needle here. He's trying to keep the left side of the equation happy and to continue advertising with all those eyeballs on Twitter, but it seems like they don't like him anymore. Because he's not allowing the speech being censored and whatnot and watched, and he's losing a lot of several advertisers, including General Motors, General Mills, Stellantis, have moved advertising off Twitter, and I mean that's where Twitter makes its money, is through its advertising. So he's going to have a town hall to try to, but I think he's going to continue to see people leaving Twitter because it won't be ESG or whatever. It won't be cool to be advertising with Elon.
And General Motors and General Mills, they're both those are both very, very big companies in terms of marketing spend.
So. Yeah, you want to have advertisers like that, national advertisers. Okay, AllianceBernstein highlights 10 reasons to stay invested in equities. Well, apparently, I don't know, they're the ones that came out the other day that the bottom wouldn't hit until next year. Well, let's look at their ideas. Equity markets generally rise over time. I can't argue with that. When I got into the business 23 years ago, the Dow was at 3,000, and it's been as high as 36,000. But a lot of that has to do with where you're at in your financial lifetime. People in the year 2000 that were 65, 70 years old and the NASDAQ got clobbered, they didn't have the time side of the equation. On their side, okay? Number two, for long-term investors, equities are still the best way to grow capital. I agree with that. For long-term investors, I would just say, the average age of most investors with IRAs, rollover IRAs, probably more in the late 60 area, okay? So they don't have long-term. They also stay, interest rates are relatively low while stocks appear reasonably priced. I agree with the reasonably priced statement, but interest rates relatively low, I have a hard time with the 30-year mortgage over 7%. I mean, we've been used to 3%. Despite pressure on valuation, earnings have held up so far. Well, I wouldn't say that. I've seen quite a haircut to the earning estimates. I agree with the earnings, okay, but it's the earnings estimates that I'm worried about. Let's see what else. A focus on quality companies can help buffer against the effects of inflation. Well, I've seen a lot of quality companies like Disney that have been hit pretty hard here recently. Stocks have historically performed well in periods of moderate. In other words, they're saying stay the course, which is number 10. Staying the course is a proven strategy, which is what usually they fall back to in the end. So that's from AllianceBernstein. Disney CEO says virtual parks won't replace in-person experience as the stock crashes. Disney got hammered yesterday.
I hope not. I mean, we've got to go to the metaverse now to go to a theme park.
That would help Zuckerberg.
Right.
I thought about, I went to the Mid-County Fair.
I'm still into the real thing. I don't know. with.
I went to the Mid-County Fair, the Carolina Coastal. When we were leaving about 5 o'clock, I'd had enough. The line to get into that place, the freeway was backed up for miles. So at that point, a virtual visit might have been better.
Right.
But I don't know about how much is a virtual Disneyland visit. Do I get butterflies on the rides? I don't know. Okay, when we come back, there's a lot moving in the market today. What looks best?
You gotta go where you wanna go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now. It's definitely stocks leading the way. But you know what, man? I look at this, and it is really strange. Some of the moves in really highly suspect stocks is just absolutely incredible. Okay, so let me just give you some examples here. All right, there's an ETF called NAIL. NAIL, I want to say, is three times the home builder, home construction index. It is up 36% today. Now, is that, I don't know, short interest? Is that short covering?
I don't know. What
or has is. All of a sudden those 7-year, 30-year mortgages too much to
going
pass
back
up?
To, going back to 3.5%. Yeah, no.
That's the Home Construction Index ETF. It is up 35.7%. Okay, now, a lot of these digital advertising stocks that have just been absolutely pummeled. I mean, Google is the king of the heap when it comes to digital advertising and paying for keywords and whatnot. And Google has just been hammered recently. Their business is slowing down considerably in that area. So Digital Turbine up 53% today. That is a company we used to own a long time ago, but it's also a stock that's gone from 102 down to 12. It is up 53% today. It's a very low quality stock. Okay, let's go to a stock that has never been profitable, Wayfair. Okay, Wayfair is like third or fourth, I guess, out there behind Walmart.com, Amazon, Target.com, a few of the other online sites. Wayfair is up 30% today. Is all of a sudden a company that's going to lose $7.53 this year, and $4.70 next year, all of a sudden worth 30% more today than it was yesterday. I'm becoming a rally denier, okay? I guess right. That's what you would say. I'm not buying it because I'm seeing some weird stuff, okay? Fossil. Is
that
a company?
Watchmaker?
Yeah, it's lost money for so many years in a row. It was at one time a $112 stock. It ended the day at $3 yesterday, from 112 down to 3. Fossil is up 30% today. 30% today. Wait a minute, there's more. Carvana, which has absolutely just been kicked in the gut. Listen to this. In 2020, Carvana, which has used car vending machines and delivers used cars to your door, it got up to $376 per share. Like, this was the greatest invention of all time, a used car lot on wheels that would deliver during the pandemic. Carvana went from 376. It closed yesterday at about $8 per share. It's up 25% today. Okay. Now you tell me that this is not massive short covering on fear that the Fed is going to announce some kind of a pivot at the next meeting, or they're going to start backing off these massive, okay, let's continue.
Yeah, Peloton up 13% today.
Yeah, okay, here's the trade desk, which has gone from 114 down to 40. It's
a great
up
stock
20%.
At one
point. Yeah. Yeah, it was a great stock. It's up 20% today, okay. Let's go to Yeti, which is in the, you know, the booming business of coolers. Yeah, they're better coolers than most, okay, but this is a stock that has so much short interest in it.
Yeah.
From 108 down to 27, it's up 24% today. And my last example here will be Cathie Wood's ARK Funds, which is full of this garbage, okay? Cathie Wood's ARK Funds is up 11.5% today. Now, let's not forget, it's gone from 159 to 33. 159 to 33. And all of a sudden, ARK Funds is up 11.4% today. Well, that's because investors out there who are invested in these stocks that she owns are covering. They're racing to cover. So we do not have a representative market here today. All right. Yesterday was a little bit more representative to me with the deflated feelings for a lot of people after the election, you know, and earlier this week you had Goldman Sachs and a couple others really kind of sobering up the market a little bit as far as the forecast for next year and this year. And then you have this wild action today. It's almost like it's become the crypto market, okay? Very, very unpredictable. So I say let's give it a day or two. Let's see where the earnings estimates are tomorrow, because earnings you can't fudge, okay? They get in trouble for misleading investors. The earnings, to me, are the very best indicator. Today is not a good indicator to go back into ARK Funds and the stocks that make up ARK Funds, the Carvanas of the world, etc., because you've got all of this short covering. And you know what? I mean, the CPI did not come in that good, but just enough to, like, wow, there's panic across the market. So you do what you want to do. I'm going to play it cool until the dust settles a little bit here. We find out who has control of the House maybe by Monday and where those earnings are really at right now. Not so much the earnings, but the earnings expectations. Okay, well, you know what? I'll be putting a lot of work in tomorrow and today. I'll be looking at hundreds and hundreds of stock charts. I'll get a lot better idea if there's any real buying. There was real buying leading up to the election. There was real accumulation. And then yesterday, it totally fell flat on its face, okay? Now, today, with the CPI report, we have got just wild, almost unbelievable action in the market today. Let's let the dust settle a little bit. Get the newsletter this weekend, GundersonCapital.com. Give us a call. It's a time for being an active investor, not passive, at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.